With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back of the Fan. Anthony, you brought this to our attention right before the end of the last segment. John Dorsey will be on Bull and Fox this afternoon. This is going to make this interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Seth Wickersham of ESPN, who is known for his expose recently on the New England Patriots.
One of the great investigators they have at ESPN, one of the great investigators in all the sports.
Well, he's just published an expose on the Cleveland Browns at about 15 minutes ago.
Sifted through pretty much all of it.
Wow.
Skimmed it like I was back in those college courses. But I think I have the meat and potatoes of this as best understood as I possibly can. Obviously, Twitter is going crazy with it today. But there is a lot there. There is a lot of bad from the past, which I think we can all understand, and why some of the processes have led to the Browns going through so many different personnel executives. At the same time, there's a reason for a ton of optimism, I think, based on this. But I'm telling you, it does not paint Jimmy Haslam in the best of lights. It just doesn't. Because it essentially, when we were just talking about what a meddling owner, and that's a perception of what it's been around the league, what a meddling owner Jimmy Haslam has been, this puts a number of sources that indicate that, explicitly indicate
that. As far as a meddling owner, yeah. That basically he talks, grasping at straws from what it looks like here. Go ahead.
All right, well, let's go through the headlines. First of all, the headline that's going to get everybody going today is that upon being summoned into a meeting in Hugh Jackson's office where he was going to be shown the door where they were going to fire him, Jimmy Haslam was in there, John Dorsey was in there, and John Dorsey said, you know, we're relieving you of your duties. Or it might have been Jimmy Haslam who said it. And Hugh Jackson was stunned, and he goes, why? He's miffed. Why? Why? And John Dorsey flatly responded, the team quit on you. And this was after they'd been to four different overtime games.
Which they did.
Well, they've been to four different overtime games. That's Jimmy. That's obviously the thought from Hugh Jackson. I'm just giving you what obviously Hugh would say.
Of course, yes.
And Hugh, according to this, said, "Get the blank out of my office." Now, in the tweet, said that
that's
he's saying, "Get the owner out of the office." But in the story, it says Dorsey. I think it just might be everybody in my office. Well, get the blank out of my office. There was also a story, according to a source from Hugh Jackson, who we know how all that goes from Hugh, that at one point after the Pittsburgh game, and when was he relieved of his duties? Was it after the Pittsburgh game?
It was Monday after the Pittsburgh game.
That shortly after that, there was supposedly, and again, this is from Hugh Jackson's people, a vote of confidence. A vote of confidence from Haslam saying that he was going to fire the offensive coordinator, Todd Haley.
Were they telling that in the morning?
Maybe after the game? I don't know.
I didn't read as far in as you did here.
Another one, again, that Todd Haley would be fired. So that basically Hugh thought he had his job, would be able to take over the offense. But Todd Haley was gone. Another headline to me, out of all of this, they had their brass when it came to Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta and everybody together to try to come up, their committee, their last committee to come up with a head coach, which ended up naming eventually Hugh Jackson as head coach. This from the story, after a few rounds of interviews, the brass voted. It was 4-1 in favor of Sean McDermott, the Panthers defensive coordinator, a coach that had crushed his interview and was known to be open to new ideas. However, it was Jimmy Haslam who overruled everybody and went with Hugh Jackson. DePodesta wrote Haslam an email arguing that Jackson hire was against many of the characteristics of the successful head coach that they had discussed. Brown met with Haslam. There's always a race to be the last one to talk to Haslam before a big decision, and told him he thought hiring Jackson would be a bad call. Haslam said, "I hear you." The Haslam then flew to Cincinnati and hired Jackson, who would report directly to ownership. So there's a lot of nuts and bolts here on why there might have been so many breakdowns, why the Hugh Jackson thing never worked out, why Hugh Jackson was always reporting directly to ownership.
Okay.
Does any of that surprise you? Anything of what I've said so far?
No.
From Seth Wickersham and this ESPN piece. And normally his pieces are kind of tandem pieces. Does anything of what we've said so far surprise any Browns fans right now?
No. The Hugh Jackson thing... Yeah, I'm trying to find exactly where you said it just to get a grip of it. in this article. The Hugh Jackson thing. All right. The way I'm going to perceive this, I guess you can just blame us. I honestly don't mean to turn everybody against the media. I'm not saying us in particular. I'm saying everybody. Was it or was it not at that time considered the slam dunk hiring? Who did he talk to who crushed the interview and he decided to go with Hugh Jackson anyway?
That was the guy that obviously ended up.
Sean McDermott.
Yeah. Who's done a pretty good job over in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott did not, but I go back to those days, and I mean, we were all hoodwinked here. 216-578-0092. Sean McDermott did not instill any confidence. I can't believe I'm admitting this. We were smitten with him. We were smitten with Hugh Jackson. Wanted Hugh Jackson. That was the big name back then. He was the guy. You look everywhere. You looked at every single article. You can go, Old Takes Exposed, I'm sure has it, where you look at every article about it. Hey, they knocked it out of the park. They got their guy. This is a great guy. He's a great coach. God, we had Amy Trask on. She basically became a third host. We got this guy. It's going to be great. You got Hugh Jackson. You got the one. It was the gem out of all of this. Remember, because there was a time I had a guy with me on the air at the time who said that he was too good a coach. He was going to end up with the Giants. So, Paul DeBattista would have had a better idea here. Yes, Sean McDermott is a better football coach, head coach, than what Hugh Jackson has proven to be. He probably would have still been fired, but he's proven to be a better head coach than Hugh Jackson. I think that's fair, right? So out of that, it's better. But again, this is still in the long ago land. This is basically a recounting of some really ugly stuff that's happened over the last 5 years that has led to the dysfunction and led to this team being a laughingstock for 5 years. Well, for longer than that, but you understand, a real, true, good God, this couldn't get any worse type of circus where people didn't even care about the team last year. And that's frankly true, and you know it's true, Anthony. We dealt with it. They didn't care during the season last year. They care again. So while this is some eye-opening stuff, that's fine. We can go over the corpse as much as we want. You do have a future here. I don't know how this thing ends. I'm only a little bit partly through it. This is a lengthy piece right now by Seth Wickersham that's, again, come out on ESPN.com if you got a little bit of time before work, which sucks because the weather's bad out there, so you probably got to leave a little early. If you got a little bit of time, you don't want to do it with a competitor there, but go ahead and go take a look because it is something else, man. It is something else.
Well, I wonder.
This does go into Mayfield, by the way. Quote, he believed Dorsey wanted to fire him and replace him with Haley, who declined comment, and that the offensive staff had, quote, poisoned Mayfield against him. This is Hugh Jackson thinking this. Poison Mayfield against him. Jackson publicly suggested he might become more involved in the offense, causing a week's worth of media drama. Then he didn't. Haley then tried to shrug it off. The 1-31 stuff, referring to Jackson's record over the first 2 years with the Browns, the two men would argue often in Jackson's office. This is strong. Believed he poisoned Mayfield against him.
This is incredible.
Poisoned him against me.
This is incredible.
But again, with Hugh Jackson, it's everyone else's fault.
It is. That is about as perfect as you could possibly put it.
It also says
it will never be Hugh Jackson's fault, no matter what.
After the Banner fiasco, after Lombardi fiasco, and eventually Ray Farmer was promoted. Ray Farmer was never interviewed for the job.
He was just given the job?
He was just given the job.
What was the reasoning for it, what was said? It was always our inclination, or it was always our indication that he was given the job because he was already interviewing with the Miami Dolphins. They wanted to retain him, and it was at that point we were thanking God that Stephen Ross was calling him Roy instead of Ray. Mm-hmm. That was the mess up that Stephen Ross was doing.
Haslam told Associates he was tired of all the negative press and felt the league office had tacitly married him with Banner, which we had always heard. Even if he had decided to hire him later that week, Haslam held an all-staff meeting to announce the firings. The first time he used the now routine language about regime change, learning and hiring the right people before the meeting, Haslam dropped by Farmer's office, told him he was being promoted to GM at age 39.
All right, 216-578-0092. Let me get to Ed West on the West Side first. Ed, you're first.
What's
up.
What's going on, fellas?
Hello, Ed.
How you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful, Ed. Go ahead.
I got a question. Okay, with the Hugh Jackson thing, and that was a bomb, Hugh Jackson. But if we don't get Hugh Jackson, do we not get Freddie Kitchens?
Well, how do you go about it? Because Freddie Kitchens came with Todd Haley,
Todd
correct?
Haley, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Todd Haley hire.
Okay. With Todd Haley, with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, I should say that.
No, I guess you don't. I probably Freddie Kitchens ends up somewhere else. Are you? So you're saying there a good thing came from a bad thing? There's a possibility there.
That's a silver lining. But I mean, if I can get Freddie Kitchens and not get, I'll take Todd Haley and still fire Todd Haley and not get Hugh Jackson. I'll take that as well. Freddie comes along.
With a piece like this, Ed, and you know where I'm going with this, buddy, is where this is going over some really bad stuff that people are trying to put behind them, and right. We're trying to go into the future. Well, I can't write a story. Seth Wickersham can't write a story about the future that hasn't been put there. But if in 3 to 4 to 5 years or whatever, yeah, there is always a possibility we look back and go, you know what? This is all awful. To a level, it's almost thank God you went through it because you got the right – if he's the right coach – and Baker's the right quarterback, which I think he's the right quarterback. I love Freddie, but I'm not sure if he's the right coach just yet. We haven't played any games yet. Yeah, there's a possibility it could work out that way. I just don't know because he hasn't been a head coach just yet. That's all.
Because I've heard you make the comparison, Ken. Because without Sashi Brown, a lot of this wouldn't be possible anyway.
That's true. He did more for the franchise than Hugh Jackson ever did.
So I was just making a similar comparison.
That is an argument. That is certainly an argument, Ed. Thank you very much for the call. In a few years, get back in on it. We'll go over it again. Hopefully we'll have something a lot better. This is illuminating stuff. You got some more over there?
Yeah, if you want to just go have some fun with Brian Hoyer, which you know I like to do. He was furious about the Manziel pick. Farmer called him shortly after the pick to calm him down. Moments later, the Texans called offering a high second-round pick for Hoyer. The room was buzzing with the chance to pick up a potential first-round player for second-round money, but Farmer killed the trade, later telling friends he felt like he had to take control of his first draft. Several in the room later told associates it felt like quintessential dysfunctional Browns draft. Team leaders on different pages, bad decisions leading to more bad decisions, and obviously we know what happened with Manziel and Gilbert in that draft.
John and Parma. John, you're next up on the Fan.
What's up, guys? Hey, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. All the names you're throwing around, none of those guys are even employed. But what I was primarily calling about is, you know, everybody loves Joe Thomas, and he has a fantastic opinion. He's just so well-rounded, and dude knows a lot. The one thing I scratch my head at all the time is when he talks about Hugh, he always talks about his love for Hugh and how great he thinks Hugh is. But everything we hear about Hugh is just so terrible. What's your take on that?
I think there's people. That's a great question, John. I think there's a lot of people who still like him. Obviously, we've seen that in the media. I think he's very close with some people. I still think he's very close with some players. I'm not a fan. If you've listened to the show, you know I'm not a fan of his, and that's one part where Joe played for him. Obviously, so there's a difference. But I would disagree with Joe in that aspect.
Yeah,
that's the best I can say. I don't think, and thank you very much for the call, John. I'm not a big fan of Hugh Jackson. I'm a huge fan of Joe Thomas, as you
well look.
Know.
Like, listen, guys, if Hugh Jackson was able to win games early in his tenure, I think you guys would love the swagger that he has. I think you would appreciate the fact.
Personally,
you wouldn't be accusing him of being fake because he'd have a think about it. If he had a quarterback, and in fact, when he did have a quarterback this year, even though he wasn't running the offense, you know, they won the. You could argue the best win they had all year was over the Baltimore Ravens, and they beat the Jets.
There's a lot I think we'd put up with. There's a lot we'd put up with.
Well, you put up. Think about it. You put up with things in New England because of Bill Belichick.
The first example I thought of. He can be a prickly individual. Bill Belichick can be, but you put up with a lot of that because they're winning. Okay, I think that other guys have a better bedside manner. I think Freddie has a better bedside manner already. Again, we'll see. I can't say that he's going to be 100% incredible because he hasn't played any. We haven't played any games yet with him. God, I can't wait till next year. However, I think when it comes to Hugh, yeah, there are still people who like him. I disagree with those people. But yeah, you're always going to find some friends out there. 216-578-0092. This is strong. This is really strong here. Anthony, I'm reading this, and there's some really big things here. Do you really care that much? Because it's going over some bad things. It leads
well,
to something.
Well, here, Gary says, let's move on. Why do you insist on keeping the
there
dumpster fire narrative going? Gary, you got to understand, when you read this story, the story is not about Baker Mayfield. It's not about Freddie Kitchens. It's not about Ray Farmer. It's not about Brian Hoyer. It's not about Joe Banner. It's not about Chud. It's not about any of that. It's about the guy that is going to be here before and after all of these guys go away. Before Freddie Kitchens, after. Before Baker, after. Before Jarvis Landry, before Myles Garrett, after. That guy is the owner. And there's a reason over the last week you have heard what when it comes to New England. that no trio, no owner, coach, and quarterback have ever been successful in professional sports as the New England Patriots. They are credited with having this great ownership. Now, would Kraft be a great owner without Brady or Belichick?
Yeah. No.
But who hired Bill Belichick? The owner.
Bob Kraft.
Yeah, and who made the decision to go and continue to start. So there is a domino effect there. And the question is, in the NFL, and I've always been doubtful of this. I've always said, hey, go get the quarterback and you're fine. You'll get the right coach. You'll everything will be fine. I don't care about the owner. But there will be people that will say, hey, an owner can ruin everything. The question is, do you believe that? And do you believe that Jimmy Haslam can finally get out of the way? Do you think it was a sign on the day that they hired Freddie Kitchens? Do you think it was a sign that the owner was not up there on the dais answering questions?
Do you believe? Because I asked you the day after it happened. It was a big
what did
thing
I say?
With me.
And what
you
I
said, you weren't sure.
But I did say
you
this.
You said you weren't
I
sure.
I said the owner has to answer when things go bad, and I think maybe it's his style to get out of the way when things are going good. And things did go well at the end of the year.
So basically, things got to continue to go well, or if they don't go well, then he's going to get involved and we can mess things up even further is what you're saying.
But if things go well, maybe he's the guy that gets out of the way. Either way, it's pretty clear that all these actors that are named in this entire story, from the coaching to the executives, they all had to report directly to Jimmy Haslam. Will he cease and desist in trying to interfere with the daily goings-on in Berea? It's pretty clear in the Seth Wickersham piece, a lot of people do not believe that'll be the case.
But it's
do you
well.
Believe
it's never
case?
Gone well. Remember, over this time, his decisions have led to nothing but bad things on the football field. If it goes well, I can't say for certain he would stay out of the business of it. I don't think I could trust that wholeheartedly, but I've never seen it happen. So if it goes well, if they're a 10-6 football team next year, yeah, there's no reason for you to be that involved. Right? Am I right or am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong.
I would agree, but this is still an owner who's spending a lot of time in Berea.
Because this is some stuff, obviously. I mean, my God, it is something that it's turned into an obsession for the man from what it looks like here. But a lot of this story, it's going over some illuminating, some bad stuff, some really ugly stuff that is embarrassing to a once proud franchise. But everybody knows that. People knew it was embarrassing. This is just getting the nitty gritty of how embarrassing it was. But everything else now, people are going to look at this today and go, well, I got my quarterback, I got my coach, I got my general manager, I have a future of this franchise here. Can I trust the owner to stay out of the way? And by what I'm looking at right here, I've never seen him have that chance because they've been bad, or even at the one time they had any hope whatsoever, they got in their own way because they took Johnny. I've never seen them have that opportunity. So, no, I wish I could. I can't say that I trust him, but he has the best chance he's ever had as an owner. The best chance right now. So, you brought up Robert Kraft. I think it's the perfect example for it. It's not a blueprint about how to get things done. Obviously, there would be bumps in the road. But if you hire a good coach, which we'll see, if you hire the general manager, you hire the quarterback, or you draft the quarterback, things are in a better way. 216-578-0092. Do you feel, and we'll go over some of the other quotes here, do you feel that you could trust Jimmy? It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyme live in the Fan. Back in the Fan, we'll have Chris Fedor on at 9 a.m. this morning. Also, your chance to win $1,000 in the pigskin, or cold hard cash coming up at 8:03. I'm getting mixed up there. Going over Seth Wickersham's piece, a lot of this, I'm hearing a lot of these people. I'm actually agreeing with a lot of these people. This is...
Remind everybody, this came out this morning,
this is
7 a.m.
Yeah, this is something that came out here about 40 minutes ago. And this is basically telling you just how bad it's been over the last 5 years for the Cleveland Browns, okay? And there's a lot of stuff. There's some ugly stuff in here. I mean, my God, Andy Lee got traded. Jackson went nuts, according to one of Seth Wickersham's sources, and stormed into Haslam's office. We're hearing that quote. Is there a real quote there about the nerds there? Because I got to make sure everything's right, Owen. Okay. Said that he doesn't need nerds to tell him how to pick players and all this stuff. Blanking nerds.
He has it here. Dorsey on analytics after he was hired.
I don't want to pull Francesco.
He was
here,
skeptical of their helpfulness when he first got the job. He told the associate that he didn't need blanking nerds to help tell him to evaluate players. He since warmed up, sources say.
My God. So what this really becomes is exactly what you said it was. I've never seen Jimmy Haslam with a successful football team. Truly. There was one stretch in 2014 where things kind of sort of got a little successful, and then it went straight to hell. And it was hellish since then up until this last year, and then things have gotten pretty good. At least as good as 7-8-1 is going to look, especially with the way it started. So now I thought there was a definite reason. I like being right. I think I was right. There was a definite reason as a message to us and to the fans and to everybody as to why Jimmy Haslam sat in the seats and not up on the podium with Freddie Kitchens and John Dorsey. There was a definite message behind that. And the message is that he needs to be out of the way. I cannot tell you, though, Anthony, that as of right now, I believe he'll stay out of the way. I've never seen it. There's no chance. I've never seen any sort of indication that he'll be able to stay out of the way with a good football team. I've only seen him be involved with a bad football team. Doesn't mean he can't do it. There's no explanation that he would be able to do it. There was a quote in here, quote, we just don't know what we're doing, D said in the office, according to Seth Wickersham's piece. Quote, if we'd have known how hard it would be, we would have never have bought the team, end quote. I believe that. There is part where this is going to be a bit of a stretch, but bear with me here, by the way, Anthony. You know Vince McMahon, right? WWE, okay? The guy, other than wrestling, has tried to start up a football league twice, wrestling-themed restaurant, a casino, movies. Most have been an absolute total failure. Total failure. Oh, there was also, what, the pro bodybuilding thing that he had in the 90s? Six things. It's just been basically a failure. When you're really successful in something, you think you can be successful in basically anything. There is an ego that's involved. And remember, when he says he takes over, and it says here, he's going to follow the Rooneys. They'll follow the Rooneys because they were part owners. They were investors in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, yeah, you learned from a great organization. And you had all these people who are telling you all these different things about how great it could be. You got money to back it up. The NFL is not going to set you up the wrong way. So you're set up with people who you think you can trust. And immediately, when it starts to hit any sort of a panic button, you feel you need to get involved. But you don't necessarily know what you're doing yet. So then you make the situation worse. So now you have a situation where you have this quarterback that by the end of his career could feel like he was a gift from God. You have this quarterback that's laid here, and I mean those words. I'm not just trying to say that for effect. You have a quarterback, you have a general manager, you have this head coach that everybody likes, including us. You have a chance. Now it's the question of can you stay out of the way and reap the rewards of it? You brought up Robert Kraft. I think that bringing up Bob Kraft was probably the best example for it. Bob Kraft was known as a goof and a boob before he brought in Bill Belichick, and he was known to be boobery. People thought he was a master of boobery when he brought in Bill Belichick. Go ask Bob Ryan about that of the Boston Globe. Brings in Belichick. They draft Tom Brady in the sixth round. Nobody thinks much of it. 20 years later, it's the greatest of greatest, and he's one of the greatest sports owners in American history and in worldwide history. So there's possibilities that it can change. I just haven't seen it yet. I hope that he understands that he could be sitting on something very powerful here, very strong, and he can stay away. The only indication I can take from it, Anthony, is the press conference, which isn't much. It isn't much. So I would say I hope so. I hope that in 3 years we can start to look at this as a different ownership. The only thing I can tell you is exactly what I've seen. I know that he's pumped a ton of money into it. I know they both have pumped a ton of money into it. They've tried to make it welcoming to every one of the other workers there, not just the football team itself. We'll see where it goes. Okay? That's what I got for it.
I know there's so many people who are going, guys, they finished 5-3. We're excited about the future, the cap space, the draft picks. All I'm here to tell you is you either think the past is relevant in terms of the people who are still there. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some people that are still there. There are some people that are still in that building. One of them is Jimmy Haslam. He's your owner. He's not going anywhere. I find it extremely relevant unless Jimmy changes his ways. Now, there's a lot of us who think that maybe Jimmy is starting to change his ways. Okay. Do you believe he is? And that's what I want to ask the fans this morning. After reading all of this, are you concerned that Jimmy still being around, still having this much influence over everything, could be something that could get in the way of this team getting to where it needs to get to?
I agree with a lot of
that's what I want to hear from the fans.
I agree with some of the people who've called in, and I agree with a lot of the people who are tweeting. This is again, going over the corpse, all right? This is telling us we didn't know necessarily how bad it was at times. We're finding out how bad, especially with Hugh Jackson recently, which is terrifying. but we're finding out just how bad it was. A lot of this is going over a history. We're not necessarily looking into the future, but you bring up the most valid point. Can I trust him yet? I don't know, man. Do you trust him?
I don't know if I ever can fully. I don't know that you can. He's done so much damage. It's pretty clear. Can we all admit that? He has done a ton of damage. Not that he hasn't done some good, too. But he's done a ton of damage. And the way that he's run roughshod over almost every meeting.
What were his intentions? What were his intentions?
I think every owner has great intentions. I think Dan Snyder has great intentions in Washington. True. That doesn't mean you're going to win. That doesn't mean you're going to lose either. Jerry Jones has had great intentions. How many playoff wins do they have over the past 20 years?
That's a good point. I know that it's not to make the team worse. Good God.
No, that would make no sense.
Flatly, he's been embarrassed by all this for a long time.
It's a billion-dollar asset.
So
why would you want to make it worse?
So do you really believe that he can be that guy who stays out of the way? You're the one who accepts the trophy no matter what, whether you were that involved or whether you were Jerry Jones or whether you were a person who showed up once a week. You're the guy who gets the trophy if they win something. You're the owner of the team. So, you know, I look back on this, and I think a lot of this, it smacks of ownerships that had to learn it in the past that we watch on NFL Network when they do a football life, guys like Mr. D, and then you got possibilities where it can never go right, where you get in your way, your own way. 216-578-0092. We'll hear from you. We'll blow out the nose dump. Also coming up at the news dump. Also coming up at 9. We'll talk to Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. We'll see what he has to say about all this. Also, a little bit of Cavaliers with him. I have a theory at 9:40. Certainly took a turn, hasn't it? It's Ken Carbon and Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.